This is Side 2 of Broadcast 621, and it's October the 31st, 1983. Now, this is the comment of Mr. Gonzalez. Henry Gonzalez has been in the Congress 30 years. He's not a newcomer. He knows what he's saying. This is September the 15th, 1983. Regarding Dr. Kissinger and his commission, Mr. Gonzalez was allowed 30 minutes. As I say, we'll reduce it to less than that, but it's important. Mr. Speaker, on July the 18th, President Ronald Reagan announced that he was appointing Dr. Henry Kissinger to head a commission on Central America, which he labeled as partisan. The idea, he said, was to come up with a long-term unified approach to policy in Central America. The idea of bipartisan commissions is not new, and it never answers questions to old problems. The whole foreign policy apparatus has been off in that area. He says for 5 years they're trying to solve something which has plagued successive administrations for 50 years. And if you want to know about the area, read the books on United Fruit with Alan Dulles and John J. McCloy and the who's who of who runs the country today. The idea of any commission of this sort is not to devise answers, but to make dissent from preconceived policy appear dishonorable. If you didn't like this, and these people say we need it, you are dishonorable, perhaps even unpatriotic. Commissions are a way to take issues out of the realm of debate and discussion. Whenever there's something controversial in Congress, now you appoint a commission like the MX, they get their heads together and tell you what you need, and there's no discussion on the Congress, and this is what he's saying. The Greenspan Commission, for instance, did not devise any magic plan to save Social Security. Its purpose was to take it off the table to enable previously disagreeing parties to represent action that they had already devised and to make it palatable. This is the task of the Kissinger Commission, to throw a blanket over any dissent from present actions in Central America while at the same time issuing long-range recommendations that change absolutely nothing, while ringing with high-sounding but essentially meaningless affirmations and declarations and obfuscations. Kissinger himself is frank about this. In August, he said, "I believe in the overwhelming national interest not to have Central America turn into a major political cause. Any president would be grateful to have a commission on whose report he will rely so that he will not start a huge controversy. Don't let everyone in Congress fight it out. Have a commission." He says, in case that is not clear enough, he also said, Henry Kissinger, it seems to be desirable to take Central America out of politics. Translated, that means hand it to the Defense Department. I'll interspose some comments, but most of it will be Representative Gonzalez. Clearly, Henry Kissinger understands that his job is not to suggest any change at all in the Ronald Reagan policy, that the commission will stay out of operational issues. In other words, they won't examine or say anything about what is happening. They won't talk about whether it's desirable to have clandestine operations against Nicaragua regime or long-range maneuvers or wide-scale training operations or activities in Honduras. And whether they make sense, they will not talk about the question of curbing death squads in El Salvador or how to give popular opinion any real voice there. In short, the commission has nothing to do and nothing to say about the actions that have given rise to the controversy in the first place. Meanwhile, the existing policies, the source of all the controversy, will never be tampered with. The whole idea is to avoid dissent and debate, because in the Henry Kissinger view, we really cannot afford another searing debate like we had 10 years ago. In his view, it would have been unfortunate to have a debate about the wisdom of bombing Cambodia. You know what he did there, or the invasion there. Therefore, the secret war, which was a vast controversy in his view, should not have happened. In fact, the only thing to do in Vietnam, according to him, was to liquidate the whole commitment and reduce the controversy, but to do so slowly at home and work out a deal. He reduced the controversy and spent tens of thousands of lives, and in the end failed to save Vietnam and sent Cambodia down the road to one of the bloodiest slaughters in all human history. The only thing Kissinger achieved was his domestic political goal to allow Richard Nixon to proclaim an honorable peace And certainly this was as elusive a statement as ever devised since Chamberlain pronounced that he had struck a bargain with Adolf Hitler. Henry Kissinger knows well what his role is to do. It is to rationalize existing policy in Central America, to smother defense by making it appear partisan, and therefore suspect or even dishonorable if you don't like it. That was his goal in Vietnam, and it worked. He cloaked his unmitigated disaster in terms that tried to hide what could not be hidden, in mirror tricks that he started to distract us from a weary and worried population. After that performance in Vietnam, his present job was throwing a blanket over Central America, ought to be quite a pushover for Henry Kissinger. It cannot last very long. One cannot forever pretend that Pinochet in Chile is angelic, nor the right-wing killer squads of El Salvador are expressing any popular will, nor that the people of Nicaragua are demanding the ouster of the Sandinista, when none of this is true. This is Henry Gonzalez before Congress, September the 15th, 1983, about Henry Kissinger. He says, any more than a case could be made for Rios Montt, the paragon of good government in Guatemala. Eventually, questions have to be asked, but Henry Kissinger does his job as he hopes that it will not be for a good while, and in the meantime, he will build up his own personal empire. By the time you ask those questions, he will have built up his empire. He said, nobody is better suited to the task of smoothing over the troubled waters of an unwise policy than Henry Kissinger. Nobody is better suited than him to defend and rationalize the indefensible. This is the arrogance of Henry Kissinger, of course. He has not only done it before, he made a whole career out of it, and in the process of building a considerable fortune as a result of it. I might intersperse that that's why I think that Fritz Kramer, his mentor, and with the monocle from Frankfurt and Hamburg and from Italy and so forth, with his nefarious career at the Bulge, we have to find out who that man is, because Kissinger has carte blanche and runs over the entire country. He said, I brought out my views in a news conference in my district in Texas. Back home, I said that Mr. Kissinger formed a private consulting association known as Henry Kissinger and Associates. His principal associate is Lord Carrington, the former foreign minister of England, plus an array of former officials of past and present and semi-officials ranging from Mr. Scowcroft, that same gentleman who gave the same performance with respect to the Scowcroft Commission that was bipartisan in order to try and make the MX missile program palatable, like they're doing in Central America, to Congress, and above all, William Rogers. Now, Rogers, he says, is not the same one who was former Assistant Secretary of State. This Rogers that he's talking about is not the one that former Secretary of State. There's two William Rogers. One William Rogers is on the board of 20th Century Fox with Henry Kissinger under Marvin Davis. He was the one in charge of the Shah of Iran's shenanigans, the oil prices going up, the importation of Nazi, the one from Resorts International. That's the Nixon Henry Rogers. There's a different Henry Rogers, this one, who was the former secretary, he's not the one under Nixon, he is the former Assistant Secretary of State for Latin America Affairs, who last year accumulated $300,000 as an agent sending the Sandinista government to buy arms. Now, one reason they would pour money, I would think, into the Sandinistas is just so they have an excuse to counter and come back at them and take the whole country. The man working with Henry Kissinger now supplied $300,000 last year to the Sandinistas. That's like arming the Black Panthers in Los Angeles and giving them weapons and guns so the police department can come in and take the Black Panthers. Back to the congressional record, Mr. Kissinger has made his financial profit from that kind of consultantship, that kind of deal and association, and he continues to do so even as I'm speaking here today, so that the boys that are in Honduras dying before we say it is training, actually that we've taken over Honduras, they're occupying Honduras, will be up against the shooting of weapons that his friend William Rogers and from the State Department have supplied in the past year. Our boys will be fired upon with the guns procured by Mr. Henry Kissinger and Associates. Does that sound like Lebanon, where all those weapons there that killed several hundred of Americans were sent by Kissinger and Associates over in Lebanon earlier? As a matter of fact, I charge that Mr. Kissinger, this is Henry Gonzalez, says, has his own private State Department. And this is pretty heavy on the floor of Congress. His own private State Department. This is what I've alleged for a long time. And today I'm introducing a resolution in the Congress of inquiry in order to find out exactly what the connections are with this administration, particularly the Secretary of State and Mr. Kissinger. They're very much present together, and almost as if a hired consultant by Mr. Schultz, Henry Kissinger, our Secretary of State. He even has his own parking space at the State Department next to Mr. Schultz. I figured that maybe this administration is contracting out our State Department diplomatic activities to Henry Kissinger. This administration is contracting out the State Department to Henry Kissinger. This is exactly what I've said after the war was over in Nazi Germany. Our State Department contracted to Reinhard Gehlen and the top Nazis and threw this country down the drain. This is the closest I've seen where Gonzalez is saying that the administration contracts Mr. Schultz to Mr. Kissinger. I would like to know exactly on what basis, if any, the State Department has thus far contracted with Henry Kissinger and associates, and if so, how much they've dished out and under what conditions and what purposes. And more is happening here in our United States, he said. The truth is that there are more of our foreign envoys in the United States beating a path all the way from the French ambassador and other ministers from France to Nigeria and some from South America countries by way of Mr. Rogers, who is the lawyer or the agent for the activity, and up until at least this year, what is the reportable amount and how can we get the information? As Mr. Rogers said, IE was paid $300,000 by the Sandinistas. For what? For arms procurement? For what is the president telling us about the Sandinistas, and what is that Mr. Rogers doing with Henry Kissinger? He says this is another case of contradiction, and it is abhorrent to me that they're arming one side and the other and that Mr. Rogers is working with Henry Kissinger. He says, I did not speak until August the 27th at home until I had the Congressional Research Service supply the answer to the question I directed to confirm the existence of Henry Kissinger and associates. Now, maybe we can get the same Congressional Research Service to find out if Fritz Kramer, of Henry Kissinger's mentor, is that Nazi criminal with number 33. Maybe that's who we write to, the Congressional Research Service. And some of you might, pardon me, you want to wait? One minute, would you want to get out of here a minute? There's somebody, we're taping this. There's somebody that just came in the room, and it bothers me. And this goes on other stations, and you don't do that. Thank you. Pardon me, I'm sorry. He says, according to Ms. Okay, we'll get back to this testimony. I did not speak until August 27th back home when the Congressional Research Service supplied me with answers to these questions, and I asked them to ask about Henry Kissinger and associate activities. Henry Kissinger is not only an advisor, he is a hired gun set up as Kissinger Associates ready to advise anybody on any foreign policy problems in the United States if the price is right. He is calling him a hired gun. According to Mr. Scowcroft, it takes about $250,000 to see Henry Kissinger to get the entrance door for the consultation. Lord Carrington, that's a strange one, former foreign minister of Great Britain, is his associate. And among his associates, as I said, and he repeats, is Brent Scowcroft, who lately sold us the MX program by producing a contradiction in terms, a program calling for deployment that is totally vulnerable in the name of making the United States vulnerable, the MX program. And remember, the MX program, the Scowcroft recommendation, went through because the Larry McDonald plane went down over Korea. They got rid of a man who has information on Western goals, on Mr. Ducote, Jerry Ducote, on the Los Angeles Police Department, Reagan's administration, and Roy Cohn and the whole network of people that blackmailed the president and worked with the police departments. When that plane went down, the MX went through. He says Kissinger's clients know that he has access to everybody that counts, or at least that's what he has impressed them with in this country. He makes certain that everyone knows that he is at the most intimate terms with George Shultz. And if we believe Mr. Kissinger, not only a regular lunch companion, but who can be called and advised on how to handle the Russians and what to do in the Middle East. You've seen the Middle East policy. You've seen riots of Pinochet or what goes on in the Philippines or Southeast Asia. This is Henry Kissinger ever since he's been in this country where Mossadegh, the first democracy, was overthrown in Iran and the oil gushed for the Chase Manhattan and the State Department got the profits of the banking of the oil in the Shah of Iran in that strategic area. But he's talking about Henry Kissinger and how Henry Kissinger is bragging about his position with these particular people. He says most likely they will proclaim that nobody but Henry Kissinger can solve that riddle of Central America after the Middle East. And if some client suspects that Shultz is not presently the man who is heard by the president's good ear, Kissinger let it be known that it was Mr. Judge Clark. And remember, Judge Clark was in military counterintelligence when he brought Helene von Dahm to this country to Ronald Reagan and von Bolschwing. He's saying the president's good ear is received by Judge Clark, the security advisor who is now in charge of the Interior, who thought of the commission in the first place and begged him to serve on it. But the great man, according to Henry Gonzalez, the great man Kissinger said, at first he was reluctant. He would hate to turn the president down, though, meaning, in quotes, I want my clients to know that Ronald Reagan himself had no other candidate for me but this great and this historic task. After Vicky Morgan's head was cracked open, they didn't have any other clients, and I challenged them to explain what that means, that there's nobody that can handle Central America after the way that Chase Manhattan and the Rockefellers handled South America with their literal slave labor and their dictatorships, the arrogance of this man. And again, this is the person who was put in there by the faceless Fritz Kramer. We only have one picture of him in 1970 that was received by Congressman Panetta. He got it for me. He said, this is the line that Kissinger's clients hear, that the president didn't have anybody but him. He's telling his clients at the business on how to handle that problem for the United States. Of course, we're talking about the same thing on the level that we were talking before. And now he gets into the formation of these gigantic political action committees. The political action, they want preferential treatment and access to the sources of power. In our case, those PAC boys do not give $10,000 to a congressman because they like the color of his eyes, but because when any pending legislation comes up, they want to know if they have preferential access. Now, to interject Henry Gonzalez's speech before Congress, remember how outraged I was, I think it was broadcast number 617, that Mr. Daniel Graham, the partner with Fritz Kramer, is starting political action committees for his space station. Those genocidal policies that were written up in Alternative 3 with Robert Morris up and Gerard O'Neill up at Princeton, the whole military counterintelligence group. That's what those political action are, and Gonzalez would be wanting a piece of it if they were honorable. And it's interesting that he brings up the PAC, and I'll send him a transcription of tonight's broadcast, because the crux of the problem is Kissinger, Kramer, and Graham with Robert Morris. And if I have to say it every week and draw it out for you, I will. And he's asking, what about this? Then he goes on, Scowcroft, who is Kissinger's associate in his company and should know what's going on, he should know, says that the price of going to see Henry Kissinger, and he repeats it, is $250,000 a throw. Now, this is a business that Kissinger maintains at the same time that he's heading this commission. He uses the commission to boost his visibility and build his credibility and to make it clear that he is, in effect, a State Department of his own. By golly, this is the free enterprise system at its best, without official portfolio, ready for sale or rent to those who have the money to pay. He's called him a hired gun. He's talked about the political action committee. Now he's talking about his visibility. Remember, those of you that listen to World Watcher, that when he was on this, the point of this commission, I started saving pictures of him. There was Kissinger with Gerald Ford. There was Kissinger with his arms about the president. There was Haig with Kissinger. Richard Helms came out of the woodwork. Mr. Rogers with Henry Kissinger. I never saw a face in any news story so many times in the first two or three weeks as Henry Kissinger. And as I mentioned before, the newspaper referred to his trip in South America as a flying circus. It wasn't a circus. It was visibility to show the clients who spent $250,000 for him to recommend to them what's going on. That was to get him in the news. There's no other way. That face was plastered all over. And now They have him plastered in the billboards in New York. I love New York. Love Henry Kissinger. Send him back to Germany. Send him to the Soviet Union. Be tried as a war criminal for what happened at the Battle of the Bulge, or working with Klaus Barbie at the intelligence operation along with the top Nazis before John McCloy put him at Harvard. This man is a disease in this country, is sick. And until we get to the root of those people like Kramer and Kissinger, you will pay your dues. You're paying, what is it, $1 million a minute? That was the budget I had last week, the report on weapons. So if I'm on 1 hour, you've spent $60 million or a debt for your children and your children's children. The World Bank can't hold it. And this is a statement from Congressional Record, September 15th, 1983. If you want to look it up or copy it at your library, it's Mr. Gonzalez. The section here is 1640. The page of it is on page H6999. If you want to look up the reference of that particular day and copy it. He says that he makes himself visible, which is exactly what I was saying, at $250,000 a throw. He said, compare that to Clark Clifford, who was hired to evaluate Vietnam as Secretary of Defense. And he tells how he at least put his business aside and didn't run him at the same time. And he goes into the tragedy of Southeast Asia and the people that fought and were bombed in Thailand and Cambodia and North Vietnam, and how he destroyed the city of, down there, and it just left blood and death wherever it happened to fall at Kissinger's discretion. Now, one member of the Congress interjected here. He interrupted Mr. Gonzalez, Mr. McEwen, M.C., small c, W-E-W-E-N, and he said, can I speak for a few minutes? And he interjected here that one person who isn't there to defend the invasion of Nicaragua and so forth is the empty seat today of our colleague, that's Representative Larry McDonald, who was murdered in cold blood by the Soviet Union, and Nicaragua chose the National Security Council not to condemn the activity. So this congressman accusing takes over the floor to say, look, Nicaragua isn't so great. We should really be there because those people don't even attack the Soviet Union. And if you've been reading the stories lately, the whole Soviet propaganda thing was a total lie. They knew the plane where it was going. They knew what was going to happen. They knew it could be blown down. And they martyred this man. And every once in a while, these people get up and say, well, remember that plane in Nicaragua didn't condemn the Soviets. Nicaragua was waiting to see what was going on, and rightly so, and they didn't make a fool of themselves like the Soviet Union. And Mr. Gonzalez took back the floor, and he said, I don't want to get sidetracked into the diversionary area of whether or not Nicaragua said anything to condemn the Soviet Union, because I'm talking about Henry Kissinger and his business. He says, what we're talking about, we're not talking about the same thing. He says, what I'm talking about, and I repeat this business, of Mr. Kissinger maintaining his own private business and profiting on the sides personally. It's one of the biggest sources of his present income. And on top of that, it also pointed out in a press conference, Mr. Kissinger is also at the same time a paid consultant of Chase Manhattan Bank, which has a heavy stake into large segments of Latin American press. Well, they own practically all the control of the governments in Latin America and put in the dictatorships. And he says, I'm talking about large segments and the overwhelming majority of those countries in South America, Central America, and Mexico that are involved with these huge, compelling payment of debts, and the U.S. banks has to do with the Rockefellers and Chase Manhattan, Henry Kissinger's full-time paid on them. He said, we in the United States, in our self-image, must wait and find out that outside of our shores, our self-image is not necessarily the image held of us, and that it is important we don't deceive ourselves on this point. Henry Gonzalez says, don't fool yourself that people think of us in these terms. It's indefensible. And when you find out these obvious conflicts of interest, he says they have everything to do with the destiny of our country and its future relations, not faraway nations, but with our next door. Mr. Kissinger was selected to defend. He wasn't appointed by the president to condemn any of the actions down there, the massive intervention, the most massive in the history of that area of the world, sending in the Marines and so forth. And he said, how many of you know the terms of the secret arrangements that Mr. Kissinger made any more than Americans know? He said, Mr. Kissinger, in my presence, lied to me in 1973 at the Paris Peace Conference about an accommodation that made with the Vietnamese. of reparations, and we had promised him $3 billion in reconstruction. Henry Kissinger made the deal and reneged on it and didn't give him a cent. And Gonzalez said, I got back in touch with Nixon, and they admitted, yes, that this did come up at the Paris Peace Conference, but never went around and never came about. He said he's put in a position now of high visibility. This is the character and the pattern of the behavior of Mr. Kissinger to break back his promises or agreement. He's highly visible. He is now on the bipartisan commission, has Mr. Harry Slatterman, S-L-A-T-T-E-R-M-A-N, who was the ambassador to Argentina, but was the CIA's station chief in Chile when we were intervening to destroy Allende's regime. Kissinger is not only an advisor, he repeats he's a hired gun set up by Kissinger Associates. You know, I wonder why the Congress is so quiet about things, why they never say anything, that they sit back and take all this. The answer is that there are people saying it, but the American news media and the Associated Press, United Press, the Tom Brokaw, or Dan Rather, you don't hear them repeating what this man is saying about the reputation of the United States, about a sleazy guy like Kissinger crawling around on his belly, taking money from these people, high visibility, selling out this country. And he refers to him again as a hired gun, and he says the price is right. If anyone has it, they'll go to him. Kissinger's clients know that he has access to everybody who counts in the United States on the most intimate terms, and that his commission boasts its visibility and credibility because that gives him an official portfolio ready for sale or rent to anyone who has the money to pay. I can't imagine any greater conflict or interest than this man who uses this appointment to build his private business of influencing peddling. And that's what I said about that visibility of Henry Kissinger and what he's doing to push his face into the news and sell his business. He says he doesn't want to change the present policy. He knows that his job is to try and provide respectability and cover for keeping the status quo in Central America. People who hire Kissinger are those who have great stakes tied up in the way things are now, whose future fortune depends on it, on keeping the president order alive and not making any changes. They don't care about hunger. They don't care about poverty among the people down there. They don't care how much we're frustrating democratic processes, how much he kills reform or sanctioning policies that make it absolutely anathema to people at home, that people in the United States have no idea what he's pushing down there. The people who have found Kissinger useful over the years have investments to protect, interests to protect, fortunes to preserve. There are those folks who pay so handsomely for the advice of this former Secretary of State, the former security advisor, that he's not going to espouse any single policy that interrupts their profits. He'll use every tactic to keep that money going, that profit, as against the wishes of those people. And it says he's doing a disservice by postponing the day, rather, of reckoning, of raising the cost of the failure. We failed in every country where he is, and he postpones the day of reckoning because we have to pay for it later, and he will not rock any boats, of course, and these excesses and the extravagances that he depends upon, his lifestyle and so forth, will continue. He says he is driven by powerful forces, and Kissinger is doing what he knows best. He knows what he's doing. He's recommending the interests and the profits of a few. The administration knows there's no danger that his commission will go astray from their central issue in Central America of debate. He's for clandestine operations. He dazzles out to hide the important questions. He hides secret wars. He smothers debate. That's his second nature. Why should Congress be deaf and dumb to Henry Kissinger? And Gonzalez passed a resolution in Congress, a resolution to request that the president provide certain information as to the Henry Kissinger and Associates and the business activity of Henry Kissinger, and that we know who puts money into the till, who his clients are, what services he provides, how he mingles business with foreign policy. Well, that is the congressional record, Henry Gonzalez, September 15th, and I will write to the committee in Washington that he has to investigate Kissinger Associates. And maybe we can find about his mentor, the great Fritz Kramer. In the meantime, our hour is up. I'll be back with you next week on the news, and we'll update some of these sleazy characters. This is Mae Brussel on KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California.